It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas.
We are two wild and crazy guys
on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. He's Matt Douglas. I'm Andy Bull Barch, staring at least a little bit of sunshine outside the studios here of AM 930 WEOL. Having some fun here on a Friday, and well, we love Fridays for a number of different reasons. Number one, because the weekend is almost here, but number two, because on Fridays, we get to welcome in our good buddy, our good pal, Adam Burke with Bang the Book Radio and bangthebook.com. Adam, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. How are you this afternoon?
I'm able to talk for more than 30 seconds without coughing, so I guess I'm doing pretty well after dealing with pneumonia this week.
It's rough, man. It's just this time of year, everybody seems to come down with something, and if we could only handicap how quickly we could get over such illnesses, my friend, I think we all be very, very rich, wise men. But let's stick to what we're used to, and that's, of course, handicapping sporting events throughout the course of the weekend. There are plenty. I want to get into some NBA situational betting tips for the weekends. And, you know, I know tomorrow we'll come back around to the Cavaliers and Grizzlies, and I know you kind of like the Cavs a little bit in that one. But for tonight, are there any games that you particularly like from a situational perspective tonight?
I mean, I think there's one really interesting one north of the border here with San Antonio taking on Toronto. And you know, you got DeMar DeRozan making his return to Toronto. And, you know, it was a situation where a lot of people were sad to see him go. I think the Raptors felt they needed a little bit of a change after yet another playoff disappointment. So they go with Kawhi Leonard. They have to give up DeMar DeRozan in that deal. And you know, he makes his return tonight. I would expect there to be some sort of scoreboard tribute, maybe even a pregame acknowledgement of everything that he's done. Those are tough things to handicap because they're tough for the road team. You know, you think that DeRozan's going to come back and really want to showcase himself and play well for his team. They're tough for the home team because you're kind of standing around. You know, it's a guy that you've got a lot of history with. So I think that's a really interesting dynamic here in that game tonight. I'm not sure who it really benefits. I think it actually helps the Spurs a little bit more than the Raptors just because, you know, Scotiabank Center is one of those places that has a really good home court advantage. And I think that the melancholy nature of, you know, DeMar DeRozan coming back could really hurt the home team a little bit here.
And we mentioned we'd come back around to the Cavaliers. They, of course, take on the Memphis Grizzlies tomorrow night. And at bangthebook.com, you went over some of the details of this particular game. And you mentioned that this is a spot where you might like the Cavs just a little bit.
Yeah, this is a weird one. I mean, obviously, you know, it's tankapalooza for a lot of NBA teams out there. Certainly the Knicks doing the best job of it so far. The Spurs are doing doing a very good job of it as well. But we know that it's in the Cavs' best interest to be losing games also, but it's also in Memphis' best interest. And in fact, they're 8-27 over their last 35 games. They do play tonight against the Los Angeles Clippers at home. So back-to-back road game tomorrow night against another team that's not going anywhere. And I think it's hard at this time of the year in the NBA, especially coming out of the All-Star break, to get re-engaged, get reinvested in everything that's going on. For Memphis here on a back-to-back with travel to a city where there's not really a whole lot of buzz, it's going to be a pretty subdued environment. I think it's tough for the Grizzlies to generate their own excitement, whereas for the Cavs, at least playing on your home floor, usually does get the buzz going a little bit. So I think Cleveland is in a little bit of a better spot tomorrow night. And, you know, we will see a lot of these spots as we go forward in the NBA.
Adam Burke with bangthebook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Matt Douglas is dying to ask you a question. He threw this my direction just before the show began. He wants to talk a little bit of hockey with you with a certain trade that went down earlier today with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So take it away, Matt.
Well, yeah. I would think have to favor Tampa Bay right now as far as the NHL goes. Trade deadline is on the 25th. The hockey's already starting pretty hot here. Blue Jackets have acquired one of the big chips in it, Matt Duchene. I mean, how's this go moving forward? Do you see any teams maybe stepping up in the odds up there in the NHL as becoming favorites perhaps?
I mean, when you think about the primary guys that are out there right now, as you mentioned, Duchene, one of the big ones, The funny thing is Columbus has another big guy in Artemi Panarin. And it looks like right now, you know, I was kind of curious to see what they would do. If they would be a buyer and get somebody to then be a seller and trade off Panarin because they don't really have a chance at signing him. So maybe that's something that happens. But if they keep him, I think this is a situation where Columbus could very well move up the futures board. You can find them about 25, 26 to 1 out there right now. I think there are some teams kind of on the fringes of being buyers. I think the Islanders could make some moves and possibly bump up a little bit. The Blues are playing very, very well right now, so they have some incentive to buy. The one team I would kind of watch for here is Montreal, because Montreal has the type of goaltender in Carey Price that can get hot and carry you through the playoffs. So if they are active here at the trade deadline, I guess a team that could move up the futures board a little bit.
I want to turn our attention to golf just because, I don't know, maybe it's a sign of getting older. I love watching golf on TV, man. There's just something relaxing about it. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting there. I spent 4 hours in front of the television just sitting there watching golf. My wife came by and said, "What's the matter with you? Why are you watching golf?" And I said, "I don't know. It's just relaxing." And it just, it turned into a heck of a lot of fun. And I just kind of wanted to pick your brain on, you know, the best ways or tips for handicapping golf tournaments, such as the one we've got this weekend, the WGC Mexico Championship PGA this weekend. And I guess you detailed this at bangthebook.com a few days ago. You have to take a lot of factors into consideration, including the incredible level of elevation for this weekend's festivities.
Yeah, the thing about handicapping golf tournaments is that every course is unique, right? Every course has its sort of hallmarks. And, you know, a lot of times guys play really well at the same courses or courses that are very similar. So that's something, there's a horse for course type of angle that we like to call it in the industry, where a lot of times the guy is going to get, you know, some preferential betting action because he's played well in a certain place. One of the unique things about this course here just outside of Mexico City is that it's at about 8,000 feet above sea level. It's a little bit below that, but I think a lot of European Tour players would play well here as a result because they're playing on more courses at elevation. You know, there's a course in Switzerland that's very high elevation. So I talked in the preview about guys like Matthew Fitzpatrick, like Alexander Noren, a couple of two-time winners at that course in Switzerland. You know, just courses are different. You know, some courses, the fairways are really wide. So if you're a guy that hits it far, maybe not the most accurate guy, that's okay. If it's a course that has tighter fairways, well, maybe driving distance doesn't matter as much as accuracy. Sometimes you'll have courses with big greens or small greens, or, you know, golf is, it's so subjective in the sense that every course has these little quirks to it that you sort of want to get players that statistically line up with the course or guys that have historically had really good success there.
You mentioned one of the guys to watch for this particular weekend could be Paul Casey, and that's because last year he did finish 12th and he was able to move up the board a little bit. Why is it you think that Paul Casey could be a guy that maybe we should give a little longer, harder look to?
Well, I think Paul Casey is a guy that, you know, the last 2 years that he's played this event, he's struggled in the first round. And I think that that kind of makes sense when you talk about the altitude considerations that are here, because you know, a lot of guys feel comfortable hitting shots from around the same yardage. You know, some guys have a club in the bag they like to hit from 120. Some guys don't. So they try to pick that right number. And I think with the altitude at this course, it makes it a little bit of a challenge to, you know, get that feel. So for Paul Casey, the last 2 years, 73 and 74 in the first round. After that, he wound up playing really well with five of his other six rounds in the 60s. So, you know, just one of those things where you kind of look for guys that maybe have an outlier round but play well overall. Those are guys that usually get overlooked from an odds standpoint and also are guys that, you know, as long as they had some more consistency, should be right there when all is said and done.
And this particular field is going to be a little bit smaller, but there's no cut for this event. Is this right? There's no cut whatsoever?
Yeah, there's no cut for this event. It's limited to 72 players. And one of the reasons why the WGC events, you know, obviously we saw the one down at Bridge, they're down at Firestone. One of the reasons why they have such strong fields is that, you know, there's a big prize pool here, and these are very select, you know, invitation-only types of events. So that's why you've got all of the best players in the world, really, including some of the other PGA Tour circuits, the PGA Tour of Australasia, the Asian Tour, I believe the Sunshine Tour down in South Africa. So you know, these are really who's who types of events, and that's why you know, they let them play out all 72 holes because it's about half the size of a normal golf field.
Interesting. I think that's fascinating. At this event, there's no cut, but I mean, you just kind of explained why here. I'm interested to watch this weekend. A lot of fascinating names here, and you mentioned kind of a who's who, no cut. And, I mean, you're talking about 8,000 feet above sea level. So that should make for some pretty interesting next couple of days of golf, no doubt about that. All right, Adam, we'll turn our attention now to some college hoops. This is still the February frenzy. We're not quite into March Madness just yet. We'll be there next week officially. A week from today is March 1st. But what's the best way of approaching tonight's game? I'm asking this selfishly because we've got Bowling Green and the OU Bobcats. Bowling Green, of course, playing really well this season. OU coming off a loss where they fell by 47 to Buffalo. Any way they could lose by 47 again?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, Buffalo is the class of them. And, you know, the thing is, too, Buffalo's not as good as they were last season, but they are still the class of the MAC here up there with Toledo and Bowling Green. And, you know, I think that this spot tonight here is a really good one for Bowling Green. It's an isolated road game, but you know, you really want to win these types of games late in the year. They do have road games left against Akron and Buffalo, but you know, these are the types of games that you want to sort of set that tone for the conference tournament. Yes, it's a neutral site in Cleveland, as we all know, but still, you want to familiarize yourself with winning away from home. And so far in conference play, except for a slip-up at Miami of Ohio, you know, Bowling Green's played very, very well on the road. I would expect that they do that here again tonight. And the thing for teams like Ohio is that, you know, late in the year, when you're in a one-bid league, and if somebody does beat Buffalo in the conference tournament, this is a two-bid league, but you kind of start looking with one eye ahead at that conference tournament. You sort of try to figure out what's wrong with your basketball team, try to work on that. Right now for Ohio, it's defense. 1.43 points per possession allowed in that loss to Buffalo on Tuesday. They've given up at least 1 point per possession in each of their last six games. Saul Phillips needs to get his team to play some defense. So I think tonight Ohio's best chance is to ugly it up and sort of make Bowling Green play a physical brand of basketball. But I think the Falcons are okay with that, and I think they should win comfortably tonight.
Getting closer to the end of the regular season, some pretty interesting matchups the next couple of weeks. But this weekend, outside the one we just talked about, BG and OU, there's some other college games that you kind of like over the next 2 days?
Yeah, there are a couple of interesting ones. I'll start with a game that I like from a handicapping standpoint here. Georgia State's on the road at Coastal Carolina. And 2 days ago, on Thursday, Georgia State played a very close game against Appalachian State. That's in Boone, North Carolina, one of the higher elevation cities east of the Mississippi when it comes to you know, Division I college basketball. So you play a close game there at night, then you've got a quick turnaround to play Saturday afternoon in Myrtle Beach at 2 o'clock against the Chanticleers. I think Coastal Carolina is in a really good spot there as a home team that will probably be in the pick'em range, maybe minus one, something like that. I think it's a pretty good spot for Coastal Carolina there. But as far as big games go, I'm really intrigued to see what happens with this Florida State versus North Carolina game tomorrow afternoon. Draws the CBS billing at 3:45. You know, for North Carolina, they get that big win over Duke, and everyone talks about Zion Williamson getting hurt, and deservedly so. But I think for North Carolina, I think there's a little bit of a chip on their shoulder that a lot of people seem to be saying, well, that game goes differently if Zion Williamson doesn't get hurt. Well, yeah, of course it does, because he's the best player in college basketball. But North Carolina took advantage of a good situation with him getting injured early in the game, and they're not getting a whole lot of respect for that win. So I kind of wonder, against a very talented Florida State team, if they try to send a message and make a statement here. If they do, that tells us a lot about North Carolina going forward. If they don't, I still wouldn't read too much into it, because beating your rival on the road does lead to a letdown that following game.
Yeah, very tough to dispute that, no question about it. Well, certainly a lot for us to watch for this weekend. Adam, as always, man, we appreciate the time. We know you've been under the weather all throughout the course of the week, so we certainly appreciate you carving out a few minutes to talk to us here. Get healthy, my friend, and we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Take care, man.
Thanks, Adam. You do the same again. Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com. Don't forget to check out his work not only at BangTheBook.com, but they do a daily radio show, Bang the Book Radio. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Great stuff in there every single day, covering you from a number of different handicapping perspectives. All right, we need to get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We have an Indians update, then Your Money Now, and then Matt Douglas with the local news. Then we'll come back and talk Tribe. And we've got 90 more minutes left on this Friday edition of Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 W.